1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 12 to 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 22. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, and see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we are blessedly indebted to you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that being our good God, that you've not left us to flounder in darkness, but have given us this light. Your word, Lord, is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Lord, with it, you open up our understanding and you direct our steps. And Father, we pray that you would bless us this morning here in this place, each one of us, that we would know your Spirit's prompting and equipping, that we would receive this word as from you, your word. And Lord, that we would put it into practice, that we would be eager to hear what you have to say to this church. And Lord, that we would go out and live this passage, this text for your glory and for yours alone. And so we pray this, Lord, looking to you and looking up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we come to the end of another year, don't you find that the tendency is always to slow down and just take it easy, to relax, to coast? Don't you find that as work slows down, as friends come in, as family comes in, that's the tendency to just slow down and take it easy and just coast through the end of another year? Do you find that that's the tendency? I think most people do. I think that for many, the end typically signifies a time to just wind down. But what's striking about this letter that Paul writes is that he is far from slowing down as he comes to the end of this letter. In fact, if anything, he seems to ramp up. He seems to speed up. He seems to get excited. And at the very end of 1 Thessalonians, to this letter, he writes about 14 exhortations. I mean, he just peppers the Thessalonian church with these 14 exhortations. And these exhortations are really designed to encourage and to stimulate and to build relationship with the leadership of the church, relationship with the body of Jesus Christ, and relationship with the Lord himself. And over the course of this day and the next Lord's Day, morning and evening, we're going to be looking at these 14 exhortations. And we're going to be doing that because we want to ramp up. We don't want to coast. We don't want to just relax and just sort of meander into a new year. No. We really want to wind ourselves up, don't we? We want to approach this new year with some good thoughts firmly embedded in our mind. How we, as God's people, are supposed to relate to the leadership, to the body, and to the Lord himself. And so this morning we begin where Paul did, speaking about how the body should be relating to the leadership. And this is an important issue, and I'll tell you why. Because in my observation, sadly enough, It's amazing. It is stupefying how little care, how little respect the body of Jesus Christ often shows the leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you how often I have heard sheep whinge and whine and complain and speak ill of the leadership that God has put over them in Jesus Christ. And this must have been a problem for the Thessalonians and their leadership. Paul wouldn't have addressed the issue if it were not. Paul is not in the habit of putting out fires that don't burn. If he's telling them, if he's urging them to respect and to highly esteem the leadership, the eldership of the church, it must have been for good reason. There must have been problems. There often are problems. And Paul comes along and he says to them, I urge you, okay? I urge you. Listen to this. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly. In fact, Paul, what Paul is saying there is that we want you to do as much as you possibly can to go way beyond what is normal and typical and customary in terms of your esteeming the leadership of the church. In fact, he's saying that we want you to just go way, way beyond what is even possible in terms of recognizing and esteeming the leadership of the church. And Paul says, I urge you. And that word is a deep, passionate summons. It's a calling. It's a pleading. It's almost begging-like. He's saying, people of God, I urge you to recognize and to esteem very highly those who are over you in the Lord, those who are your leaders. And this morning we're going to take a look at some reasons why we're being called, you're being called, urged to recognize and to esteem very highly those who are your leaders in the church. And the first reason is this, because they labor among you. Because they labor among you. Isn't it true that oftentimes it's those who work hard that we recognize? Isn't that true? Those of you, particularly those of you who own your own business, who employ people, and you get all kinds of people coming in and you see how they work. Isn't it those who work hard, who do what they're asked to do, and you see them laboring and even to the point of exhaustion, and you recognize, you want to recognize these people. It's not the lazy, idle people that get recognized in the world. It's those who labor who get recognized. This past week, I'm thumbing through a journal, the McMichael Members Journal. That is a journal that's handed out to members of the McMichael Art Gallery. And as I'm thumbing through, I see this photograph of this woman with a big smile on her face. And over top, there's the caption, congratulations. In other words, underneath, rather, is this, the Ontario Volunteer Service Award for her outstanding commitment to McMichael Art Collection. And I thought about it. You know, there's a woman who, for 15 years, volunteering her services, committed herself to doing excellent volunteer work. And now she's being recognized. And of course, people who labor hard should be recognized. They should be esteemed for their work. Paul's working on their consciences here. Because he doesn't just say those who labor. In fact, he uses a word that is very significant. It has to do with laboring to the point of exhaustion. It's not just working. It's working diligently. It's working so hard that you just want to drop dead of exhaustion. It's the same word that Peter uses when they're fishing. Remember the story? Lord, we've been toiling all night. We've caught nothing. It's that word. It's toiling. It is a toiling. It is a taxing. It is an exhausting labor that Paul has in mind here. And it is. The work of pastoring a church is not an easy job. It was never meant to be an easy job. God did not put leaders over perfect people, over people whose lives are altogether perfect and sorted out. No, He's given the church leaders because the people themselves are imperfect. And they have problems. And they have struggles. And God's design is to use these people, these men, to help these people along, to sanctify them, to be a blessing to them, to strengthen them. And that is difficult work. It's not easy work. The pastor is not called to be a professional. He's not called to punch a clock. Not that there's anything wrong with punching a clock, but he doesn't punch a clock. He's on call night and day. His job is to constantly and vigilantly look over, watch over the souls of God's people. And it almost assumes, well, it does assume that that's going to be a difficult job. It's going to be attended with difficulties. And it is. In fact, the pastor is often one of Satan's number one targets. John Calvin said, "It is not an easy and indulgent exercise, but a hard and severe warfare where Satan is exacting all his power at us and moving every stone for our disturbance." You have to understand that the pastor is in a unique position. He is a unique target of Satan's attacks. He understands, you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And so he faces unique temptations, terrible temptations. And the work itself is attended with difficulty and sadness, blessing, but hardship. Paul says to Timothy, endure hardship as a soldier. He says, it's going to be difficult. You must endure hardship. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard work. And it is. Praying over the souls of God's people through the week. Remembering them in your prayers. Sitting down to prepare a word that will help and bless and encourage God's people. This is difficult work. Stepping in where there are problems in the church and counseling and reconciling and directing people to Christ. This is not easy work. And Paul says that those who labor in this respect should be recognized and should be highly esteemed by the people of God. They labor among you. You know, Paul was always so quick to recognize those who labored in this respect. You go throughout his letters and you find Paul, particularly at the end of the letter, you know, I just want to recognize this person who really was a blessing to me. And this person over here who did so much for the ministry of the gospel. And I just want to recognize those people. Paul was such a big-hearted man. He was always encouraging people to recognize those people who deserve recognition and who deserve to be esteemed and to be thought of very highly in the gospel ministry. And so Paul comes to the Thessalonians, and really God comes to us here and says that those who God has put over you should be recognized. They should be highly esteemed. Because why? They labor among you. And those who work hard are worthy of honor and worthy of respect and being esteemed. But secondly, because they're over you in the Lord. Not only because they labor among you, but because they're over you in the Lord. They are literally in front of you. They're the front men. They are those who are leading you. They are the leaders in whom Christ has delegated ministerial authority. Why? For the oversight, the protection, the well-being, and the care of the church. That's why he's put leaders over you. Many today resent authority. We know that. Children resent their parents' authority. We see the way that they interact with their parents. It's shameful. You hear the way people talk about cops, the way they speak of our MPs and our PM, and there's a derogatory way that people talk. And why is that? Because people resent authority. They don't like to be under people. Why? Because they want to be free to do whatever they want with no accountability, without any checks whatsoever. And so people, they buck at the sense of authority. And sadly, it happens in the church as well. But you know what? God hasn't delegated ministerial authority to the leaders of the church to make your lives miserable. He hasn't. He's delegated authority to be a blessing to you. It's a love thing that God does this. Why? Because you're not perfect. And it's important to have authority in an imperfect society. Even in a perfect society, it would have been necessary. How much more in a fallen society? How much more in a church setting where people are imperfect? To have people come along and say, listen, I've been noticing this. I've been noticing this trend. I've been noticing this behavior. And I just want you to know this, that this is what the Word of God says about this. And I want you to stop doing that and to start doing this. That is a blessing to the people of God, to have that authority put in place by God. It's for your good. You know, think of your parents. Children, think of your parents for a minute. Sometimes you don't like the fact that we come to you and we correct you and we have to rebuke you and chastise you. But I think you know enough that if we let you do whatever you want, if we just let you get away with murder, do whatever you please, that we would be raising monsters, right? Selfish, greedy, horrible people that would do nothing to help and bless others. You see, the authority is so necessary. It was always designed to be a means of blessing for God's people, to bring life and prosperity into our midst. And so you should never be resentful if God has put people over you in Jesus Christ. And there's the point. The leaders are over you in Jesus Christ. The leaders are not given authority to tell you how to cut your hair and mow your lawn. It is over you in Jesus Christ. In other words, their authority extends to those matters that regard the Christian life. Those things that pertain to life and godliness. Those things that pertain to your advancement in the Christian faith. The Lord has given authority to men over you in that respect. They're there to serve you. They're there to be a blessing to you. And because of that, Paul says, esteem them. Recognize the work that they do. They're out to do a good job for you. God has put them over you to be a blessing for you. But thirdly, Paul argues, because they admonish you. Because they admonish you. Not only because they're over you in the Lord, but also because they admonish you. They literally get into your heads. That's the literal translation. They take time to see how you're doing. They come alongside and say, you know, Jason, how are you doing today? What's going on in your life? Lynn, what's wrong? What are the problems? What are the struggles? Wendy, what are your disappointments? What are the discouragements? What can I do? How can I pray for you? Or they come along and they say, look, I've noticed this, and I just want to urge you to pursue a better course in this way. When they see problems, when they see faults, when they see failures, they come along and they point you in a better way. And that's what admonition really means. It means instructing. It means correcting. And you know what? That is a blessing, isn't it? To have somebody in your life that will hold you accountable and won't let you get away with murder and make a wreck of your life and make a train wreck of other people's lives. I mean, the man is there to admonish you, to instruct you, to correct you so that you will become more like Jesus Christ, so that Christ will be more and more formed in your lives. He admonishes you, and that's a blessing. That is a reason to recognize and to highly esteem those that God has given to be your leaders in the church. Now, we ask this question, how exactly do you esteem your leadership? How do you go about recognizing these people? Let me give you a few suggestions how you can do this. One is this. Ultimately, number one, Pray for them. Pray for them. It is to your benefit. It is to your benefit to pray for your leadership. It is. If you want to do yourself a favor, pray for your pastor. Okay? Pray that God would give him a message for you, for your life. Lord, stay in. Lord, stay out. Pray that God would give him wisdom to know how to deal with the problems in your life, how to overcome hurdles and obstacles. Pray for that. Pray that God would fill your pastor with the Holy Spirit, that he would be a Holy Spirit indwelt man, that when he speaks, he would be speaking the very oracles of God, as it were, that his mind would be filled with wisdom. Pray for his family and all of the attacks and the assaults and the problems that they invariably face. Pray for his wife. Pray for the pastor's wife. A significant figure in the ministry of any church is a pastor's wife. And she too needs to be prayed for. The family needs to be prayed for. Pray that God would enable that man to manage his household well, to be an example to the flock of Jesus Christ. Somebody that a church can actually look at and say, okay, now there's how to live a Christian life. Paul often said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Listen, if you want to do yourself a favor, pray for me. Pray that God would bless this individual. Bless me through my week. Bless me in my walk. Bless me in my fight against the devil, against my flesh, against this indwelling corruption that still lurks, prevails, it seems, in my heart. Do yourself a favor. Pray for me. You want to know how to recognize my work among you? Do that. Pray for me. Here's another way. Get behind me. Get behind me as I lead this church. If God has put me in this place of leadership, and if God has given me a vision for the church, then it's your vision as well. It is Christ's vision for this church. And the vision of Living Hope has always been and will always be to bring the peoples of Toronto into the worship of God. That's the vision that God has impressed on my heart for you, his people. It's not my vision, it's Christ's vision for you. And that means getting behind me in this. Not saying anything that would detract or take away from that vision here in this place, but only that which would encourage and fuel a growing desire and interest in that vision. Here at Living Hope, one of the major vehicles that we are pursuing for reaching that goal, attaining that vision, are connection groups. And that's something that God has put on my heart, something that a lot of work has gone on into to develop. And this coming new year, we are beginning several connection groups around the city. And some of you are going to be leading those connection groups. Some of you are going to be training to lead other connection groups, all in the hope to reach our city for Jesus Christ. And what I'm asking you is to come on board and to get behind me, to pray and to work hard and diligently to reach out, to bridge, to network, to get to know people, to invite them into these connection groups so that they'll know about Jesus Christ and know about him as Lord and Savior of their lives. That's the vision here at Living Hope. And I'm just calling you to get behind. If you want to recognize me, if you want to esteem me here, then do that. Not only pray for me, but get behind the vision that God has put on my heart for this church, this assembly. Here's another way. Never, ever speak ill of your pastor. Never, ever speak ill of your pastor. He may not be the greatest pastor, but you know what? He's your pastor. He's the one that God has given to you. And he needs to be esteemed for Christ's sake. And that is of vital importance. I'll tell you why. Because all too often what I hear as I travel around and as I hear sheep talking about their leaders, about their pastor, it's amazing. The things that I hear them saying about their pastor. So rarely do I hear sheep say, you know, I just love my pastor. I just so appreciate the work that he does. And the way that he tends to my soul, the way that he prays for me, the way that he counsels and instructs me. So often I hear just critical, condemning, nasty things about the pastor, as though they expect the man to be God himself. as though they expect him never to make any mistakes. There is no room given to these men to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They give the man no room for sanctification. They themselves will take lots. But for the pastor, he gets none. It's a double standard. And they talk. Here's my concern. Not that in speaking ill of me, my reputation would be besmirched. That's not my concern. People can say whatever they want about me. I can deal with that. I will deal with it by the grace of God. But my concern is this. My observation is that the people who speak ill of their pastor, they poison the sheep of God so that when it comes time to hearing the word of God preached, that word that God wants, which he designs to be a blessing for the souls of his people, that word is clouded. It's veiled. It's walled. And the people of God cannot hear the word of God that God wants, and Satan has accomplished what he wants. You see, that's what's behind it. That's where Satan is going. When he has the people of God begin to grumble and complain and whinge and whine and speak ill of the pastor, ultimately, his design is to shut down the word of God in that place. And that's why I am so jealous for this, that if you have anything against me, if you see anything wrong in my life, I invite you to come and talk to me privately, Matthew 18, to extend to me the same courtesy that I would extend to you in dealing with your struggles and in your failures, so that the word of God in this place will be able to run swiftly and have its effect, the effect that God wants it to have. If you want to recognize and esteem the leadership of this church, never, ever speak ill of your pastor. I mean, if anything, go the other extreme and just make stories about how great he is and how wonderful he is. You know, that will just send an amazing message to the people of God and be a blessing here in this place, in this church. Never speak ill of your pastor. And then fourthly, encourage your leadership. Encourage your leadership. No pastor is above needing encouragement. None. You need encouragement. You need someone to come along and say, you know what? I saw that thing you did over there. You know what? That was just great. That was wonderful. More of that kind of thing. You know, the pastor, he's not a rock. He's not an island unto himself. He needs the encouragement of the body. He is, at the end of the day, a sheep, like you are a sheep. And he needs encouragement. And here's how you can encourage my heart and my soul. It is to do the very things that God puts on my heart to tell you to do. Week in and week out, I come to you with the Word of God. Week in and week out, I come to you with the message that God puts on my heart for you. If you want to encourage my heart, here's how you can do it. Put it into practice. Nothing encourages my heart more than that. When I see God's people doing the thing that I have been straining through the week to get into my heart, to get out to you, to put into practice in your life. You want to encourage my heart? Just do what the Word of God tells you to do. That would encourage my heart. That would bless my soul. You know, you're called. Do you know that in the Word of God, Hebrews says this, you are to allow me to give my account on the last day with joy. Because that would be a profit to you, it says. Let me do my work here at Living Hope with joy. Let it be a joy to me. I know I'll have to go in battle. I know I'm going to have to fight. I know there'll be blood, sweat, and tears. I understand that. But let me do my work here with joy. Let it be a blessing. Let it be a refreshing blessing. You know, I thank God that I can come here week in and week out, and I come excited to meet you, God's people, because I love you. And I love being with you. And I love to see what God is doing, and He is doing good things in here. And I'm thankful for what God is doing. And I anticipate more of that in this place. But as for you, you have a responsibility to me as I have to you. And your responsibility is to recognize and to esteem very highly the leader, the leadership that God has given to you. And you know what? I'm not embarrassed to tell you that this morning, because ultimately my office reflects the office of Jesus Christ. My office is but a mirror of who He is as the great shepherd of your souls, the one who bled and died for you, the one who calls you to come under submission to Him and to live and to know how good He is. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You have designed the church in such a way that there are leaders, and that these leaders are positioned to be a blessing to Your sheep and to help them along and help them to Zion. And Father, I publicly renew my love for my sheep and for Your sheep. I thank You, Lord, for the way that You have been working here through these years, and the way that You will in the days to come. Thank You for my sheep, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I myself will be faithful to them, pastoring them as I ought in the upcoming year. And Lord, that they will know that here at Living Hope, that there is a pastor who loves them and who will care for them, and if need be, will even lay down His life for them. And Lord, we pray that Your glory shine and manifest itself evidently and clearly here in this church, that we would be a well-functioning, well-relating people. And Lord, that would be clear in the way that the sheep relate to the eldership. We thank You for being with us this morning, for blessing us and hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen.